And then everybody can take a nap.
Okay, I can I can ask about some ground rules and during the
Let's do it in the show.
Yeah, let's not prepare anything beforehand.
People love hearing about ground rules.
they love nothing more than ground rule hearing.
Yeah,
can I hear the sound for one point though?
I don't have the board hooked up in here.
Damn it.
Your nightly Lex.
That's me.
Well, Lex beverages after dark. Poured.
Yes. Any questions from the panel about the ground rules? I know people love talking about ground rules.
Do you
rules.
Have printouts, Phil?
Yes, I have printouts and I have rankings and I have spreadsheets and you can't see them.
Oh my
god. Avert your eyes or I'll blind you.
It is fantasy draft season.
I'm with a lemon drink here. You're not going to waste your bourbon on me.
No, that's true.
No. And I'm holding your bottle hostage too.
Oh jeez.
Did you just spill bourbon on the floor?
No, I dropped
Okay.
No, I dropped my bottle cap.
Oh, okay.
And the last time I was in here with bourbon, I left my bottle cap.
That is. I found it the next day. I was like, Phil was here.
Drinking.
You can tell by the trail of bullet bourbon.
Yes, it's like
Phil scat.
Yep.
It's like in Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, where Eli Wallach is...
Go ahead.
Where Eli Wallach is trying to hunt down Clint Eastwood, and he finds the little cigars, and it's... Mm-hmm. The bourbon caps are my little cigars that I leave as my signature.
You finished
Sometimes.
The bottle.
No. I have. quick, run down to the store, get one of those.
Toots.
little bit
get
of
some Foley.
Stage work there. Nice. Sound effect, Foley. Charles Rocket thinks that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, once again, I'm not the one who cussed on this episode.
I'd like to know who the fuck did it.
Oh.
Jason cursed.
Yep. I'm just quoting Charlie Rocket.
Another precedent.
R.I.P. Charlie Rocket. Mm-hmm. You may remember
Charlie Rocket is dead?
Charlie Rocket is dead.
Yes, he committed suicide.
Yeah. He killed himself.
Oh my
god. Oh yeah.
That's
now
terrible.
You feel bad, don't you?
No, I really do feel bad.
If you had done a pilot called Steel Collar Man as a robot, you know, I can't argue.
But Charlie Rocket, you know, great roles, Max Headroom, and
David Addison's brother.
Moonlighting is David Addison's brother, But yes, not the greatest from the Khomeinian era of 1980 to 1980.
The Ayatollah Khomeini.
Yep. There's still some weirdos out there.
A. Whitney Brown.
Quit trying to make A. Whitney Brown happen. He's not going to happen.
No, I want to. We're all having laughs at A. Whitney Brown's expense
for the first time.
But let's look at the big picture.
Hold on, Monty. Bah. As a gentleman who cut his teeth or came up in learned about comedy from the San Francisco comedy scene of the 1980s in which A. Whitney Brown was a part. A. Whitney Brown was an outstanding stand-up comic.
True.
And I will brook no talk of him. My favorite joke of his, one day I'm hoping to become the Whitney Brown.
Yes.
And he also did a great joke about how his dog would wake him up every time the garbage man came. And they're taking our garbage. No, his stuff on Weekend Update was not his best material, but he was a very good stand-up comic.
I still have his book somewhere in my house here. Mm.
That's a strange title for a book.
I couldn't tell you where it is. But.
David, it is I'm
drafting Jason Snell
the
next.
Jokes, they're wacky.
And his follow-up book, Please Let Me Out of Your House.
All right.
From the I think it was Hill and Weingard who wrote the first history of Saturday Night
Saturday
Live.
Saturday Night,
which is excellent.
Great book.
Yes. Very great book.
I wish we hadn't given ours away.
I've got my copy. I haven't read the Tom Shales book. I've only read
the Tom Shales book.
It's good, too.
You need to read the Tom Shales book, but wait until this Tuesday when an all-new edition with 200 more pages is coming out.
I know.
Yes.
What do I do if
I
already own it?
I
have to buy it again? It's like
just go to the store and rip out the extra pages.
I think the thing I really loved about the Tom Shales book is how Jimmy Fallon whines and complains about how his complexion became dull and disorderly after all the chronic sleep deprivation.
We're almost at the last round.
I assume he laughs in every interview. So,
yeah. Phil, did you have something to say about that?
Yes, yeah. I did. Yeah. They had the line from an unnamed staff member during the Dick Ebersole era that every time Dick lies, his nose grows shorter, which just makes me laugh if you've ever seen Dick Ebersole.
Yeah.
Because it looks like someone is pressing the nose into his skull.
Yeah. Oh, Dick Ebersole.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love the Ben Stiller show. I thought, you know, this is the next thing, and then that didn't go anywhere.
Everyone in it became a star.
Oh my
though.
God! Yeah. When they yeah. do the when they do the sketch yeah. where you two is selling Lucky Charms.
Mm-hmm.
Oh god,
mm-hmm.
that was brilliant.
And what Die Hard 12 in the grocery store? Mm-hmm. And
not
Oliver
an episode
Stoneland.
About the Ben Stiller show.
Yeah. Anyway,
not an episode about the Ben Stiller show. Good memories. Good times.
But I want to talk about Mr. Show.
Good times.
Let's have a Ben Stiller show draft.
Yeah. There you go. Right.
That's like literally a 30-second episode. Yep.
I take Andy Dick.
If it were Saturday where I live, Saturday Night Live would already be on. I just want to be clear.
Yeah, I know, Lex. We're almost at the end. Get your last pick ready.
Okay.
Are you mentioning Gary Kroger in the hopes that he'll write you another angry letter, Jason?
No, actually, we made a joke at Gary Kroger's expense, and he wrote an email saying,
like a decade ago.
Hey, I thought that was really funny, but now when you search the internet for me, it's the first thing that comes up. Can you please take me off the internet? And I wrote back to him and said I would be happy to. And he was a very polite, very nice guy.
I was a television star, but you're
well. We made fun of the fact that he appeared website. On a direct. What happened is I got a new DirecTV box. And when I set it up, it tunes to the channel that tells you how to set it up. And the entire thing was Gary Kroger tells you how to set up your DirecTV box. And I thought, this is very strange that it's Gary Kroger. And I wrote about it. And he took it in stride. He was like, yeah, you know, it's work.
Yeah.
He was a very nice guy. So that's
you know
why,
who doesn't
that
take
is why
in
I
stride?
Wanted to mention Gary Kroger.
Dennis Boutsakaris.
No, he doesn't.
He is not. He Dennis does not Boutsakaris. Have a good sense of humor about no. things.
Fortunately, he's never been on an ensemble of Saturday Night Live.
Stephen Moffat does not have a good sense of humor about things.
No, doesn't.
Just talking about
you know
people
who doesn't. Greg Garcia.
Greg Garcia does not roll with the punches.
He printed out a review I wrote of something and had it framed and put on his wall. Like I guess that's his. Wow. Spite wall of motivation. Because I wrote something nice about My Name Is Earl. He's like, well, I remember what you wrote about Yes, Dear. And it was just like, wow. That's
Yes, Dear. Nobody liked Yes, Dear. And
never
but, like,
never
apparently
forget.
He really, really, what I wrote touched him to the point where, again, I want to emphasize, he went to the trouble to print it out, frame it, and hang it on a wall so he could look at it.
Right.
I insulted family members or anything. It was just, ugh.
I got an email from the guy who made Sledgehammer once. He was just thanking me for having mentioned Sledgehammer. It was buried in, I think, my review of She Spies.
Yeah.
I once got an email from Donna DeRico, who wrote in about an article I wrote that it was unfair that Nikki Sixx could bag a lady like Donna DeRico. And she was very nice about it.
Yeah.
Wow. She said, hey, we thought it was funny what you wrote.
I read it aloud to Nikki Sixx.
I read it aloud to Nikki Sixx.
He also laughed.
He also laughed. And then we had intercourse that didn't involve you.
Yep. That was the...
So it's high school all over
And
again.
The most famous example would be that that Steve Carell read a review that ran on the TV website written by Pete Coe describing
like
his terrible performance in the show Over the Top. And he read that as his thank you to the TV critics for winning the TV Critics Award for Best Actor. that was back in the day when random people would write things on the internet about television and people who were in television thought they were critics.
Yeah. Yes, we care.
Those days are over. All right, I'm going
to
wrap up.
What I'm trying
to
say is Gary Kroger, all is forgiven.
All is forgiven. We love you, Gary Kroger. Now they know how athletes feel about fantasy sports.
Yes.
Don't tell Gary Kroger, though.
I think Gary Kroger is probably a listener.
Nobody say anything to Gary Kroger.
He might have
some time
on his hands. He could be listening.
All right. And thank you to everybody out there for listening to The Incomparable. Thanks to my panel once again. Thanks to everybody who we picked. And thank you to Gary Kroger. Gary Kroger. It shows you how to set the program the remote. You press the hold down the one button. But how do I do that? Well, you hold down this button, Gary Kroger says.
That's got to be kind of a tricky thing to be a Saturday Night Live alumna because you've got such a wild disparity in how life has gone after that.
Yeah.
Like for some people, SNL is just a stepping stone. And for others, you're like, this was your pinnacle.
That was the thing, though, in the 90s where you would get people to explain things to you because you had
the Friends cast during
Matthew Perry and Jennifer Aniston showing you Windows 95.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or what was her name? Nina Blackwell, the MTV VJ.
Yeah. Blackwood.
Like, Blackwood, excuse me, doing the Time Life, download these CDs or buy
these
CDs.
Who do you think?
This is the thing that I find bizarre about this veneration of Friends as a Gen X sitcom is because there's all this nostalgia around it right now. And yet Gen X was supposed to be about, we don't like to sell out, man. And Friends was just one series of selling out after another after another. I mean, they did the Super Bowl commercial tie-ins with Diet Coke and they shilled for Hootie and the Blowfish. And
look who's pitching another episode of The Incomparable.
But it was funny. Yeah. What am I like that show.
Yeah, I like that show. Friends.
Too. Oh, Friends?
Talking about the Friends.
Yeah.
I literally turned it off halfway through the Super Bowl episode.
Did you see how they've apparently have constructed a central perk in New York or somewhere, and they're like, and just so for 1 month only, you can celebrate Friends by coming to our replica of Central Perk. And who knows, maybe you'll run into someone from the show.
It'll be Gunther.
Translation, it will be Gunther. He will make several half-hour appearances over the course of the month, and that's it.
Is this and a Marcel impersonator?
Am I the only one who's watching episodes over on Showtime? The one Matt LeBlanc is down. Oh my God, so funny. Matt LeBlanc is, who would have thought he was as funny as he is?
Who do you think is the worst or the most underused or worst used performer on SNL history?
Worst used?
Well,
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock.
I'm just looking here at the
Chris
list
Rock
of cast
managed
members.
To be
he might
funny
be tied with
show?
Damon Wayans.
See, yeah, I'd say Chris Rock or Damon Wayans, maybe Janine or Sarah Silverman.
I don't mean so to
I was
make this
say
more
Sarah Silverman or
but,
Ellen
but you'd kind of you'd kind of have to move it into categories. Are we talking women? Are we talking minorities? Yeah. Are we talking the other 80% of people?
Well, I think we could talk anybody, but
I'm doing.
But it's going to be women and minorities who are the ones who are misused.
Right. That's why I think why Ellen Cleghorn has it so bad. She was just she's so funny and was just not anything worth having on that show the way they used her.
From talent to output ratio, Chris Rock.
Yeah. Mark McKinney was on for 3 seasons, and he's brilliant at sketch comedy, and he did nothing.
Yeah. Well, and Damon Wayans, the story there is he got in trouble because he was
he made
doing
his character.
He was doing things that he wasn't supposed to do in the sketches, but he was trying to do things that he thought were funny.
Something.
In sketches that he thought were not funny. And I think that's what happened with Ben Stiller, too, is it just didn't work.
Yeah.
A lot of times the story is just like, look, guys, this is crappy, and you're not using me, and I'm out of here.
So I'm looking
I don't know
the
if they misuse Sarah Silverman.
Here.
I was going to say, I don't know if they misuse Sarah Silverman, because I think she's just not a sketch comedy actress.
No, she's not.
I'll go
on the record as saying I don't find Sarah Silverman funny at all.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Not funny in the least.
What, you don't think the girls who are super impressed with saying naughty things are hilarious?
Apart from you, no.
Oh, ow, burn.
Could I get a video of the obscene gesture that Lisa made towards me earlier?
I need some aloe. I burned.
By the way, does anyone know why the Wikipedia page for Saturday Night Live cast members has citation needed by every single name?
Everything.
Yeah. That's bizarre.
I promise you, Belushi was on Saturday Night Live, Wikipedia.
Citation needed.
I need a
proof.
I need a literary journal that proves.
Has this been peer reviewed? This list of
Saturday
Night Live.
You could put just like Hill Weingrad and Shales down for every single one of those.
I like the idea that you would have Lauren Michaels as a user saying, because I said so, and that's the citation for all of them.
Well, there are my eyes. Is that a good citation?
Yeah.
I'm looking at this list and I'm just, you know, sort of scrolling slowly, and I get to Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah.
Featured player in 1981. I had
no
idea.
She's
probably
really
in like those
career.
Two episodes or three episodes when
she's
they came back.
She's had a crazy interesting career Laurie Metcalf has.
By the way, Gary Kroger moved back to his home state of Iowa. And
welcome
and,
back to the Kroger Report.
and he blogs on GaryHasIssues.com. He is he's the creative director at an ad agency in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and writes an op-ed column for the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier.
Oh my goodness.
And blogs at GaryHasIssues.com.
I feel this
Check
is like when
Gary
I found
Kroger.
Out that
we
my favorite
you, Gary
rock band in college had like one of the guys became a realtor. I feel similarly about this.
You know, Gary Kroger was actually not bad on Saturday Night Live. He was put in all the straight man roles and all of that, but he was fine.
It's he had a thankless task.
I wouldn't read the Gary Has Issues blog right now because he's really angry about Ferguson.
He's in Iowa feeling he's a little
isolated.
Yeah.
That's the sense I'm getting as I scroll through this blog.
Yeah.
So looking at the season Gary Kroger Well, one of Gary Kroger's seasons. Or if he
one
was
of Gary Kroger's, thank you. The Kroger era you're talking about.
Oh, never mind. I'm misreading a thing. Oh,
okay. One thing. I love the opening credits of that season with the Billy Crystal year, because it was them interacting with the New York skyline.
The skyline, yeah.
I thought
the
that
subway
was
the, trains. And,
I thought that was the best opening ever.
Yeah, yeah. Lex, you can go to bed now.
I'm going to bed.
Right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for being here, though.
Go home and relieve.
That was a lot of fun.
My pleasure. Don't hang up on my account. Keep going.
Had a lot of fun.
No, I've said my piece about Gary Kroger. I can stop now. I can stop anytime now.
I don't think I mentioned Laura Keitlinger in my list of people that I had on my list.
Who's also ill-used.
Ill-used.
Yeah.
I did not mention Stephen Colbert, who was apparently an official SNL writer for at least a year.
Yeah, because his wife was a feature player on the show.
Huh.
Nancy Walls was on for a season. Yeah. He followed her there.
That's Steve Carell's wife.
Yeah.
Well,
not Stephen Colbert.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Sorry, you're right. I mixed up my Steves.
I was going to go with Conan O'Brien at one point because he was an SNL writer. And
he was in a couple
in
sketches.
In a couple sketches as tall, gangly. Yeah.
Tall, gangly,
gangly guy. He was in the penis sketch.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he was like a drummer. In a Beach Boys sketch, I think
it was the Wayne Gretzky sketch, which is a perfect parody.
Well, he's the doorman in the Five Timers Club sketch, where it's the hey, Steve Martin, oh please call me Mr. Steve Martin.
I think the person most lucky to get out of this episode without absorbing a lot of mockery would be Chris Kattan, who nobody brought up.
Jason, you should tell them about my crazy Phil Hartman penalty that I proposed last night that you ixnayed.
I don't even. I ixnayed it.
Because what I originally proposed was that you had a choice. You could either skip the Phil Hartman option, or you could take the Infinite Hartman's option. But you also had to pick from a list of sucky players who came along with Hartman, and Chris Kattan was on that list.
Night at the Roxbury.
Chris Kattan, Charles Rocket, Denny Dillon, they were all there.
Man.
I would have put Siobhan Fallon on there if I had thought of her last.
Oh, poor Siobhan Fallon. She's in things now. She's actually in things.
Yeah.
I see her every now and then and think, oh, Siobhan Fallon.
She was the most talented Fallon on Saturday night.
Oh!
Yeah, I said it. I said it. I stand by it.
Oh.
At least she kept a straight face.
Yeah.
Mm. I think Horatio Sands had the best post-SNL career for me, for somebody who I hated on the show.
Well, that's what I think about Andy Samberg.
Yes.
I hated him on Saturday Night Live. I hated his bits. I thought he was awful. And he's great on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So.
I liked some of the pre-taped sketches, but I never liked him in the live stuff. But I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Apparently, his audition for SNL, because he got there on the strength of his rating and his digital stuff, and they said, well, you have to do some impressions for Lorne. And he's like, I can do a generic Muppet, and that's all he did. And Lorne Michaels just kind of stared at him and was like, all right, then.
I find that interesting.
But the other two Lonely Island guys didn't have to appear on camera.
No, which is why they were hired as writers.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
It's 2 hours of your life you will never get back.
Nope.
Yep. Time to go home and write.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm
going to go watch The Quest now.
Oh, good luck.
Lucky.
Courage, as Dan Rather would say. And thank you, chat room. Goodbye.